You are listening to a sermon by Jeanette Hansen, recorded on Sunday, May 3, 2009, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very pleased to be here this morning, and I really appreciate the invitation. I also have greetings, bring greetings from Mennonite Church Canada. Mennonite Church Canada Witness is the body of Mennonite Church Canada that does international partnerships and work. And my husband Todd and I have been happy to be working with them since they were formed. We went to China in 1991 with MCC and then transferred to working with COM, for those of you that remember the Commission on Overseas Missions. And then when Mennonite Church Canada was formed, we were transferred to Mennonite Church Canada Witness. And you may wonder about all this transition of different Mennonite agencies. But if you thought that Mennonites couldn't work together, well, I guess you're an example of that. But the program in China is as well. It is a program that is a joint program with Mennonite Church Canada Witness, Mennonite Church USA, Mennonite Mission Network, MCC, and Lancaster County, Pennsylvania Mission Board as well, Eastern Mennonite Mission. And so all those agencies work together for the program in China, and jointly we call ourselves the Mennonite Partners in China. So that's just a background on who we are. My family, you've already heard about. We lived in the city of Nanchong in Sichuan province since 1994. Before that, we were a little bit further east in China in Jiangxi province. And Sichuan province, since 1994, we've been living there, then moved to Burnaby. And people who knew that our Saskatchewan roots said, oh, it rains a lot. And you're not going to like it because the weather is so rainy and so dull. And after being in Sichuan province, we just think, the sun always shines here. It's so beautiful. But Sichuan province is, most of Sichuan province is a basin with mountains surrounding the whole thing. And when the weather moves in, it stays for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it is a very humid, very wet climate. Temperatures probably very similar to here, but without the sunshine. And so we have been really enjoying this year in Burnaby as well. Our work in China, for the first 10 years we were there, I was also an English teacher. I taught conversational English for first-year university students. We worked together with colleges and universities, mostly doing teacher training for high school English teachers. And so although my background is not in teaching, I sort of found a niche in teaching oral English to first-year students, which was a wonderful opportunity. These are students that come out of 6 years of English study in high school, but with very little opportunity to use English. And first-year university with a foreign teacher, most of them had never spoken English with a foreigner before, and their English ability just went just like that. It was so much fun to teach because they had this real strong background in English. And so I really enjoyed those years of teaching. My husband's been working mostly with grad students in English literature and teaching methodology of English literature and also cross-cultural communication, which has been a very interesting course to teach. In the last 8 or 9 years, I've been involved with a lot of Christian congregations who are looking to reach out into their communities. And we have tried to find ways to come alongside, see what it is that they're interested in doing, and cooperate with them, find ways to be partners with them, to do what they want to do, but maybe in a way that they have trouble finding the resources or the know-how or the connections to be able to do. So sometimes my job was finding resources for these congregations. Sometimes it was connecting them with the right people. Rural congregations in China still have a very hard time connecting with their urban counterparts. And so we're working with a lot of congregations, just making connections to each other. So it was very, very, also very interesting work. For those of you that like Chinese food, you maybe already know that Sichuan food is by far the best food in the whole world. And anybody from Sichuan will tell you that. And so we enjoyed a lot of this wonderful food. And in the past, Sichuan was known for its hot, spicy food. Maybe if you knew a little bit more about Sichuan, you'd know that it's also home of the pandas. And that's what it was famous for until last year. Almost a year ago, today, actually on the 12th of May, an earthquake hit Sichuan that was of such epic proportions that it's difficult to even begin to describe. A man I was talking to recently told us that he was near the epicenter of the earthquake, and an earthquake never entered his mind. He said it was like witnessing one of those end-of-the-world movies where everything is shifting and blowing up, and he never thought earthquake. He thought the world is ending. In the weeks following the earthquake, when we were working on relief efforts, a friend of mine brought a picture when he came back from distributing some of the food and medicine. And he brought a picture to me, and it was of a dirt road through sort of a crumbled-down village. And I said, oh, that's terrible. And he said, no, you didn't look closely enough. And I looked closer. The dirt road had been paved. And somehow, during the earthquake, the asphalt from the road had been flung onto the crumbled buildings beside it. It's unimaginable how that kind of shifting can take place. He brought another picture of a valley with some mountains behind, some crumbled-down houses. And I said, you better explain this one too. And he said the local people told him that the mountains in the background of this valley had, during the earthquake, somehow shifted. And the mountain that was now visible here had never been seen before. Somehow with the sliding and the shifting of the earth, they could now see a mountain from that valley that they'd never seen before. And we continue to mourn with those people in our second home province of Sichuan, where nearly 100,000 people were lost and 5 million people were made homeless in 10 minutes. 6 weeks after the earthquake was our scheduled time to leave China. And as you can imagine, this was a very difficult time to leave. We thought about extending, staying on, but there didn't seem to be any real purpose for us doing that at that time, and so we followed our plan to come back to Canada. That was last July. We left China, arrived in Winnipeg in time for the assembly, the Mennonite Church Canada assembly and the summit that was held following that. And we felt very far away from the situation that we had just left. The first morning of the assembly, our girls joined us for lunch, and they had been at the children's assembly. And they were really confused, and they had all these questions. They said, the children are working on a service project to raise money for victims of the earthquake in China. And our girls were just, did another earthquake happen? Is that our earthquake? And I didn't really want to call it our earthquake, but I did say, yes, this is the same place. They said, how are they going to get the money from here all the way there? And I said to the girls, well, really, that's the part you do know. You do know about Winnipeg sending us money. And you saw the medicine we bought with that money. You helped us unpackage it so that we could cart it into the area. You saw Uncle Yuen, which is a pastor that we work with, buying tents and rice. And you know the stories when he came out of the area, of the people he met and the many Christians in the area who helped him get the tents and the rice and the water and the health kits to the people who were sleeping outside. And my six-year-old's eyes got about this big, and she said, you mean that money came from here? And you know, we forget that. We forget how exciting and how amazing that is. And a few days later, I went to the children's assembly and spoke to them about the earthquake. And by that time, they had gotten to know my daughters, Kate and Claire. And they were just as excited. They said, you mean the money we just raised is going to people that they know in the earthquake area? And yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing that we can have this connection across the world. It's revolutionary. or in China's case, maybe it's counter-revolutionary, not sure. But it's an amazing connection, a connection of the body of Christ. And this connection in the world is confusing, sometimes maybe even threatening to people. The idea that we're brothers and sisters, one family in Christ, it can seem pretty strange. And we forget how strange it can seem. Last year, Mennonite Partners in China had the chance to host an official from the National Religious Affairs Bureau. She wanted to study English, and she chose Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, Virginia, to study in a short-term intensive English program. And so we were able to host her because the Mennonite Partners in China office is on the EMU campus. And she got to know us pretty well. Her portfolio in the national government is Christianity. And she got to know us pretty well, even to the point where the director of Mennonite Partners in China, when he was introducing her to people, he would say, "Oh, I'd like you to meet with Ms. Wong. She's the one that's responsible for all the persecution of Christians in China." And she used to get a real kick out of that. But she began to ask a lot of questions, and she taught us a lot too. She said that the church in China was in a difficult position. There's a policy of religious freedom, but the government is afraid of the church being used as a tool of foreign aggression and imperialism. So she said the government policy of religious freedom would work better if foreign Christians would just leave the church alone. She asked a question that intrigued me. She said, "Why can't you just stay home?" And I think her words are a good reminder about sensitively engaging the church in China, but that question sort of sat with me. Why can't we just stay home? I think perhaps as Mennonites, we're not particularly good at it. Maybe we are. Maybe we are. But it seems to me, when I look at even your bulletin or things in churches here in Canada, we seem to be busybodies, you know, always interfering internationally. Why can't we just stay home? So I want to sit with that question a little bit this morning. And I want to look at Scripture and what does it tell us about staying home? I think sometimes the Scripture that comes to mind is sometimes called the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This scripture has been fairly controversial. And I sometimes wonder why God would have these last words of Jesus become so controversial and misused. We've seen in history crusades, domination that's happened, using these verses as an excuse. The Chinese church sits with this every day. When people outside of the churches say, Christianity was brought in by foreign gunboats. How do you live with that? I think that when we look at a bigger picture of Scripture, this is only a small part of a larger story. If we start in Genesis, where we hear in chapter 4 God asking, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" And to the reply, "Am I my brother's keeper?" we hear God's answer as, "Yes." This relationship with our Creator is somehow affected by our relationship with the rest of God's creation. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We do not come to the throne of God alone. We come holding the hands of our brothers and sisters. Noah was told, "Go and fill the earth." And then the Tower of Babel was built with the intention of keeping people together and becoming powerful. But God had a plan for much more diversity. God confused the languages and scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. We read this in Genesis 11, but then immediately Genesis 12 is the call of Abram. And God says, "I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." so that you will be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. God's promise to Abraham is to be a blessing to all these now very diverse groups that have been scattered over the earth. God's blessing was already extending beyond borders, beyond just one group of people. God says, "By your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves." From the very beginning, God's plan was for unity within diversity, love and blessing flowing beyond borders, beyond differences. And this plan was then made perfect in Christ. Ephesians 2:13 tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And also verse 19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." The passage we read today from Ephesians talks about this as a mystery. The mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known. When we left for China in 1991, my home church in Tiefenbrunn, Saskatchewan, prayed for us. And in 1994, when we committed to a longer term of service with COM at that time, they held a commissioning service and sent us to China as an extension of their mission. Last year, as we said goodbye to the congregations in Sichuan that I had worked with, we again felt the sense of commissioning. We spent the last 2 weeks in Nanchong having many, many banquets. And for those of you that have been part of a traditional Chinese banquet, you'll know that this is not a simple meal. This is an abundant gift of food. And we were hosted royally with all of my favorite dishes that they remembered from the years that we'd been together, all coming back out. "Oh, remember this one? Remember this one? We knew you'd like this one." And it was just an unbelievable blessing. There were many prayers, many conversations. My husband Todd said after one of the meals, "Don't you feel sent?" And I did. And one pastor actually talked about this directly. He said, "We are sending you back to Canada. Be our representatives there. We need each other." We do need each other. We need to bless each other, to care for each other, to share resources, ideas, and plans. But I think it goes even further than that. I think that we are not complete without each other. God's plan is for the church to show the wisdom of God in its rich variety. God has a Chinese face, a Chinese voice, just as God has an English voice or a German voice. We need to hear the voice of God in all its rich variety. One language, one culture, one people cannot contain the wisdom of God. That's why I get so excited when I hear about programs like Mennonite Church Canada Impact Program. It's an impact, international Mennonite pastors coming together. It's a program where a provincial conference hosts pastors from different countries in the world, and they sit together for 2 weeks to study, to worship, to pray, to learn about each other's lives together. Wonderful program. When I hear about plans for Mennonite World Conference this summer in Paraguay, I just get really excited about the possibility of God's wisdom being heard in its rich variety. There are many forms of international involvement that we are able to have, and I just think this is an amazing gift from God. So why can't we just stay home? I think the answer lies at the very heart of the gospel. We work and we wander at this mystery together as the body of Christ, so that whether across the street or around the world, the wisdom and love of God might be made known in its rich variety.